This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And you may have seen it. It was actually on the news and all over social media this afternoon. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin was the first in the country to receive the COVID-19 vaccine jab. It was followed shortly by DG of Health, Tan Sri Dr. Noor Hisham Abdullah, and then four other frontliners, a medical officer, an assistant medical officer, nurse, and a driver at the Putrajaya Health Office. And so in light of the fact that this follows on from other countries doing the same, right, of having politicians and, in fact, leaders taking the first vaccine to bolster public confidence, we wanted to look at this idea of whether or not that actually helps. You know, does seeing a public figure take the vaccine increase public acceptance?
So just to take you through some of that process that one goes through, because this is also something that was widely covered. I kept reading people talking about the stations that you have to go through, for instance. So it was taken at the District Health Centre in Precinct 11. And the process, I think, overall is reported to have taken 15 to 30 minutes. And you have to go through five different stations. You first get your temperature and symptoms screened. Then you register. Then you have to sign a consultation and immunisation agreement. You get the jab and then you have an observation. So, and I think about 30 minutes after the observation, if there are no side effects, you just have to wait for your second dose. And I personally do think that there is a certain amount of confidence that comes from watching someone get the shot taken. Especially if you're one of those that has been worried about side effects or worried about should I get it or should I not. When someone like the PM takes it and we hear about the things that are involved, I think it does help.
So personally, I didn't find it personally reassuring, but that's because I didn't really need convincing. So for my part, what I have found most convincing and reassuring in general about the vaccine has been reports from other countries who are ahead of us on this schedule, who've rolled it out sooner. And in general, the science, right? So actually reading scientific papers and articles, I know it sounds a little bit nerdy, but I actually find a lot of certainty and a lot of reassurance and hope in reading that and in actually seeing how it is that we came to this point, the amount of work that went into it, and you know, what it's expected to achieve. However, I think that as a marker, as a moment in time, it is really important, simply because as we've watched it roll out in other countries ahead of us, right? We've seen this take place in, predictably, the richer countries in some instances, the people who got the vaccine first anyway. But it's this shot. It's almost an iconic shot in its own right of whoever the leader is of that country sitting in a public space and getting the jab, right? And to me, the fact that we're there now feels like yet another step we're taking in. This is really happening. The vaccine is officially rolling out.
Yeah, I mean, it is a milestone, right? And just to roll through some of those dates, they have already started the first phase, which, you know, with the arrival of from 26th onwards, frontliners will start getting vaccinated as well. Then from May to March will be the remainder of the medical workers. And I think senior citizens as well will come after that. Finally, from phase three on, which is from April to February next year, it will be everyone else. So I do feel like as we see more people, especially more public figures, talk about their experience getting the jab and hopefully also talk about the lack of side effects following that, the confidence in the vaccine will also increase.
Yeah, but let us know. I mean, I'm super curious. We have the TV on in the office throughout because we're a news organization, so we just need to see if and when things are breaking, what people are talking about. But I'm curious whether you've also seen the videos and the photos of both the Prime Minister and the DG getting their vaccinations. How did it make you feel? Do you find it reassuring? Or if not, what has been reassuring to you throughout this vaccine process? What have you encountered or read or seen that made you feel like, okay, yes, I feel better about this whole thing, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this from a communications point of view with Dr. Mahalakshmi Arujanan, who is the Executive Director of the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre. Just a quick note, if you haven't registered to get vaccinated yet, you can do so via the MySejahtera app. You can also visit the COVID-19 JKJEV website. If you just search that, it will come right up. You can do it manually at medical facilities, as well as a soon-to-be-launched hotline. We will give you that number as and when we know it. In the meantime, keep those thoughts coming and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So today marks the day that the Prime Minister and the DG of Health were the first two people to receive the COVID-19 vaccine jab in the country. And we wanted to know, have you seen the photos? Have you seen the videos? How did it make you feel? And for that matter, what have you seen or read that made you feel more reassured about this whole process of the vaccine rollout, if at all? Please send them our way and I will share it with everybody. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, joining us now is Dr. Mahalakshmi Arujanan, Executive Director at the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre. Dr. Maha, it's always good to have you with us.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you for having me again.
So when it comes to encouraging the public to get vaccinated, what do you think is the impact of seeing public figures receive the vaccine?
Yeah, I think this is being done everywhere, not only in Malaysia. There's certainly an impact, a positive impact, I would say, seeing public figures getting vaccinated. But again, it depends on who this is. And, you know, we are dealing with a highly technical subject. This is a very complicated, and the controversies surrounding vaccines are age-old issues. We all know this. They're not new. So much has been done about eliminating the fear, but this fear and scaremongering all remains. So any public figures will not do the job. But I strongly agree that our PM and our DG, to be the first who have already received it, in fact, to receive the vaccines, we need to understand the public figures, others after these two people, these other public figures who are going to be used or who are going to be being like a poster child, these people have to understand vaccines, the mechanisms, the technology, and the medical issues. So, you know, the science behind vaccines. I would choose those who are known to the public among the scientists or any others who understand these issues. The problem is fake news and pseudoscience. You know, this can be easily manufactured, right? If the public still believes that virus came from the lab and the entire pandemic is a hoax, how long will it take for a public to say that these public figures are just being injected with saline? So you see, for that, we really need a well-thought strategy. So I would say we need to choose, after this, we need to choose the public figures carefully.
So on that note about misinformation, how can we address people's legitimate concerns or questions about the vaccine, but without feeding into the misinformation that surrounds the issue?
So you see, first, I think we need to understand the issue at hand. Communicating vaccine or vaccination is not simple science communication. This is what I, as a science communicator, I would call this risk communication. So the meaning is, here, there is high concern and low trust among the public. There is so much of mental noise that is influencing our decisions. So, and this is influenced by emotions, value, culture, fake news, scaremongering, and pseudoscience. And all these have been around for vaccine for very, very long time. So we cannot just fight all these elements merely using data and facts, which scientists are so used to it. They think just educating someone with science, giving them all the research data will change the person's perception. This will not happen. So we need storytelling, but that does not mean making something, you know, fictional, making a Hollywood movie. But this is where science is interweaved with emotions and real life stories, personal anecdotes. So all these require very strong messaging, packaging of message. Trust needs to be built. So the question here is, again, you know, going back to the earlier question, who does the public trust? Use them as spokesperson. And two very important or crucial elements in addressing public concern are trust and transparency. Now, there's a survey done by USIM, University of Science Islam Malaysia, that shows public trust for the Chinese vaccine is the lowest. So much more work is needed for the two vaccine providers or suppliers. Now, I am now involved in developing communication strategy for a company that's bringing another type of vaccine. And I have urged them to talk to MOH to allow their CEO and board chair to be the first to receive their own vaccine. This will speak volume about the safety and quality of their own vaccine. So that is trust. Now, transparency, we need to know how the vaccine performed in clinical trials. Now, my concern is I still have not heard, read about clinical trials for some vaccines. I don't want to say which one, but for some vaccines, I still have not heard about this. So, you know, this is where transparency is so important.
So, out of curiosity, Dr. Maha, you've been speaking quite a bit about the importance of selecting the correct public figures, right? People who will be best placed to provide those communications as well as reassurance. And I was just curious, I mean, from your perspective, who would you like to see filling that role?
From my perspective, I want to see not celebrities, because, I mean, celebrities, like, usually we put them as poster child for many other, you know, brand ambassadors. But as I said, this is a very critical issue, very highly technical. So I want someone who understands the issue. So I would go for scientists. And among the scientists, not any scientist, but a scientist who's able to articulate, a scientist who's well-known among the public. I know this is a tall order, because scientists are always in their cocoon. The public are not even exposed to the scientists. And this is where we are, I think, reaping the failure of communicating science for a very long time, which I've been advocating. So scientists have to be public figures. Not everyone, but some of them have to come out so that in time of crisis like this, they become our poster child. They become our spokesperson. So for me, I will be very convinced if scientists are the spokesperson, but again, scientists who I can relate to. You know, for me, it's very easy, but can you imagine the general public? It must be something that resonates with them, someone who they see as part of their culture, for example. Not all scientists, but, you know, so that means we need different scientists, different public figures for different stakeholder groups. So it's very complex. So I really hope the government, all the vaccine providers, the suppliers, think about all these things, you know, engage someone who understands all these issues. So, for example, I would say longhouses. You know, now here, you don't probably need a scientist. And again, I think we must understand in science communication, there's no one cookie-cutter approach. If I say use scientists, you use scientists for every target group. It doesn't work like that. So I'll just say for longhouses in Sabah, Sarawak, the leader of the longhouse, the leader of that clan is very influential. People have so much of respect. So that particular person could be the best influencer. So we must understand the culture of different public sectors and then work around that.
So when it comes particularly to those things, these aspects of culture, different religions even, when it comes to a country like Malaysia, both in terms of putting these people forward, but also just the general communication surrounding the vaccine, are there specific considerations that need to be taken into account?
Definitely. As I said, it should be customized. Any communication strategies have to be customized, especially risk communication, which is highly controversial. So I would say we need public influencers, the people who we are going to use as for vaccination, for example, the first vaccine or, you know, the first batch is multiracial, multireligious, and also from different cultures. So as I said, just because I said scientists does not mean scientists are the only one who could be influencers. When it comes to religion, we heard the issue is halal. So who makes a decision whether something is halal or not? It's the ulama, it's the jakim. So we need a highly influential authority in the religion, for example, in Islam, to be the person who says, look, I've got a vaccine and I've been briefed. I understand what is in the vaccine. The scientist told me, although he will not be a scientist, but no, he has to come out and say, I have been briefed and I know what is in it. And I strongly believe this is necessary and this is halal. So please, let's save our society. Let's go for vaccination. So this type of strong messages from the right person is important. For the other religion, for example, church pastors, You know, they could be the one with huge following, and people go to him for advice. So, so it has to be really customized for each society.
Now, from your point of view, again, has the government done enough to debunk the myths and misinformation around the vaccine? I mean, and as we're saying this, even the government themselves have consistently acknowledged that fake news continues to be a problem when it comes to rolling out vaccine information.
Well, acknowledging a problem is one thing, but then taking action and doing the making remediation is another thing. So for me, I have to say I'm yet to see a concerted effort by the government, but I will say the media is doing a great job. Like, you know, you are always talking about vaccines, and every other media is doing a great job. But I must also confess that I don't watch TV, so I might be missing something, you know, a big campaign out there. But on the in the newspaper, I keep myself updated. I read international science-based magazines and journals. So on to the public, I've not seen a real targeted, concerted effort or a campaign. So I think we still need one. For example, schools. You know, schools can be a great place now that schools are open. Then the question might be, why speak to students when they are not going to be vaccinated? But these students will take back the message to their parents and say, look, mom, pa, I don't want to lose you. And I've heard all these things about vaccines. Now I know it's good. Can you please go and vaccinate? Because please protect us. When you are vaccinated, it protects us. So, you see, these are the strategies, but I don't think these are all being done. And I think this is where we need science communicators, which is a field, you know, science communication is a field where it's always put on the back burner. It doesn't receive so much of government recognition, funding. So I think it's time to look at science communication as a real mainstream profession, mainstream field, because we are really in a situation where we want our society to be science literate, to be able to make the right decisions.
Dr. Maha, any final thoughts from you about this issue of vaccination and also the communication around it?
Yeah, my takeaway message will be, don't look at COVID as a single issue. I think we have to take a step backward, and COVID has presented us with an excellent opportunity to address vaccine hesitancy, which has been there for decades. So use this to create awareness on vaccines in general. Don't firefight, because this is not going to be the last health issue. This is not going to be the last pandemic. So I think this is a best situation for us to give the bigger picture about vaccines. Go back to how vaccine has helped us to eradicate polio, for example, smallpox, create science literacy among the public. And don't miss out the children as target stakeholders, because these people are going to grow up, and then we don't want the future generation to be anti-vaxxers. So we need to look at all these strategies.
Dr. Maha, thank you so much for weighing in today.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
That was Dr. Mahalakshmi Arujanan, Executive Director at the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre, speaking to us as today we saw the first COVID-19 vaccines being administered, first to the Prime Minister, secondly to the Director General of Health. Following on from that, there were also four other frontliners who received the jab. So I think the main thing we wanted to focus on is just continuing to talk about the vaccine, as Dr. Maha spoke about, but also looking at whether or not it really bolsters public confidence to see public figures taking the vaccine. Have you seen the photos? Have you seen the videos? How did you feel about them? As well as, I guess, what else is going to work in order to appropriately communicate the importance of the vaccine? So we've been asking you for your thoughts, and you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have, first of all, this from, I just wanted to address this from Zulkifli, who says, I'm not for it, no impact for me, just take good care of myself. And I think there was, in fact, 1 week in which consistently on our station, we had two shows separately titled, None of Us Are Safe Until All of Us Are Safe. And I think that it's important to consider the vaccination, not just for ourselves, but also for, I mean, in the most immediate sense, not even for our community, but for our family members, for the people we love who might be at risk. You know, there are so many reasons to take it beyond ourselves.
Yeah, I think if the one messaging about this pandemic from the start has always been that this is not something that people can manage in isolation. If you live with a family, if you live in a community, which all of us do, nobody lives on their own, isolated somewhere. I would think that if you qualify for the vaccine, it's something you should do as a sense of responsibility.
We also have Nini who says, what if a person already has antibodies? No one seems to have mentioned anything on this. And it's interesting that you brought that up, Nini, because recently there has been actually quite a number of thoughts released on it. So just to say that the MOH has said that they're going to assess the need of COVID-19 patients who have recovered to see whether they do need to receive the vaccine. However, our guest from yesterday, Professor Datuk Dr. Awang Bulgiba Awang Mahmud, said that they do need to get vaccinated. And this is because naturally acquired immunity from COVID-19 might be ineffective against new variants. He spoke about that a lot yesterday, the idea of variants. And it might, in fact, wane after 6 to 8 months. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, and we have this message from Timothy who says, who will get which vaccine? Politicians should demonstrate the safety of all of the vaccines and not just the Pfizer one, which relates, I think, to something that Dr. Maha said earlier, which is the also the idea of ensuring that the faith in all the different vaccines are as strong and not just in certain kinds.
Yes. However, just to say that at this moment in time, I think the reason why we are seeing the Pfizer vaccine being demonstrated is because it's what we have. It is the first one to arrive. We don't as yet have any shipments of the other vaccines coming in. I definitely think, Timothy, that you're right. This is something that as we see more different types coming in, we're going to need this addressed. For the time being, though, I don't think that it's necessarily a focus of, oh, we only want to highlight this one. It's just that in terms of scheduling, that's what came in.
And we have MZ saying some people are hesitant about the vaccine, not because they're inherently anti-vax. It's because this vaccine was approved too fast compared to polio and smallpox vaccines.
So this is what I wanted to say, right? Earlier, when I was talking about how seeing public figures get vaccinated hasn't really done much for me, I haven't felt much to do with that. But I found that reading up about the vaccine and reading up about the mm-hmm. science behind it, because it's really quite astounding. So above and beyond all the politics and the stuff about how much it costs and the vaccine hoarding, just to look at the pure science of it, I found fascinating. And I found personally reassuring in light of concerns like this.
I completely agree. And I think if you look at the processes involved, and this is, I think, the failure of, I think, generally science communication, which is that not everyone is going to want to read how science works.
Yes.
But I think it is important in this case to make these kinds of decisions that people do try.
So let us know. I mean, today the first COVID-19 vaccinations were administered to the Prime Minister, to the DG. Does it make a difference to you to see public figures get vaccinated? Have you seen or read anything that reassured you? Do you continue to have worries about the vaccine? Send them our way. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.